And now, WJCU, University Heights, takes a break from the Heights programming to bring you Jewish Community Radio. Weekly half hour in this spot every Friday, where we bring you what's happening in the Jewish community, both locally and around the world. And today, now, I know, I always say we have a special show, but today we got a really special show. I've often had on the show various ambassadors, generals, etc. But today we also have an ambassador, actually a retired ambassador, one who is very well known around the world. And that is none other than Ambassador Yoram Ettinger. Ambassador Ettinger, welcome to Jewish Community Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're here in Cleveland today. You're speaking around the country. And you're going to be speaking here today, actually this weekend, I should say, at a few places. And we're going to discuss where you're speaking and how people can hear you in person. But nonetheless, you served as ambassador in Washington, a liaison on Capitol Hill, as well as in the consulate in Houston, Texas.
Right, right. I've been in touch with the hinterland as well as with Washington, with micropolitan America as well as with metropolitan America. And I've acquired much appreciation for the vast goodwill in this country towards the Jewish state.
And that is a far-reaching love. I know that, of course, I mean, I don't go into politics on the show, but it's very evident that the love of Israel and the United States, as you see, as it affects the presidential politics. But nonetheless, you're here today, and you're speaking at a few places in the Cleveland area. And you also have a new organization that you started after being ambassador. Tell us about that.
Well, it's called Second Thought, which is an American-Israeli initiative based in Israel and in the U.S. And the idea, just like the name suggests, is to generate second thought about conventional so-called wisdom, about political correctness, to generate thoughts which are politically incorrect and out-of-the-box thinking about national security concerns.
Now, when it comes to national security concerns for Israel, there are many topics that are in the news that people ask about and talk about. And one of the big things that's in the news today I'd like to ask you about first is there's a lot of talk about Israel having and discovering natural gas and contracts with Israel with foreign nations. How is that changing dynamic of Israel as far as energy self-sufficiency and as far as being a global player in the energy market? Of course, you know, Israel has to buy, I don't know if people realize this, but Israel buys its oil on the open market. And, you know, it can be a problem sometimes for Israel. But now discovering natural gas and becoming a natural gas exporter really changes a lot of that dynamic.
Well, certainly by 2014-2015, we probably will become a net exporter of natural gas. In fact, we will become a substantial exporter of natural gas, and that has changed the dynamics in our relations with various countries. For instance, China is courting Israel right now. They would like to buy right now the supply of natural gas for the next few years. Russia is negotiating with Israel to go through some joint ventures. We in Israel prefer to have the Americans as our partners, and indeed the lead driller of offshore natural gas exploration is a Houston-based company, Noble Energy, and we feel much more comfortable doing it with Americans than with Chinese or with the Russians or anybody else.
It's interesting that Americans are coming to Israel for natural gas.
Well, it used to be said that if you look for natural gas or for oil, you go to Arab countries. You look for high tech, you go to Israel. Increasingly, I believe, it's going to be if you look for shale oil, if you look for natural gas, if you look for offshore oil, increasingly, I believe, it will involve bids of exploration in Israel.
Interesting. Now, so people know we're here today live in studio with Ambassador Yoram Ettinger, who's Executive Director of Second Thought, a U.S.-Israel initiative. And he was also previously the U.S. Consul General in Houston, Texas, and also served as the embassy liaison on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. His website is the Ettinger Report. That's Ettinger. Report.com. And your website is very interesting. I know you have a lot of articles there, and I read them occasionally. And also, your articles tend to get picked up on various other publications. I've seen you on Israel National News. We play the news from every week here. One of the things you talk about in your website is a topic which is also key on people's minds when it comes to Israel and security, and that's Iran. Big, big topic. Everybody has an opinion. From the perspective of the ambassador, from somebody who's been around and dealing with these issues, I'm curious what you think Israel should be thinking about, worried about, or not worried about.
Well, it seems to me that when it comes to Iran and American audience to this radio show, the first and foremost concern should be the USA. And your listeners should realize that as far as the Iranians are concerned, the number one target is not the little Satan. The number one target for Iranians' nuclear capabilities would be the big Satan. And it is the U.S. which is the number one target, because according to the Iranian strategic thinking, and rightly so, there is only one power in the world which could stop them from dominating the Persian Gulf, and that is the USA. Domination of the Persian Gulf has been the traditional historical Iranian vision going back to the 7th century. The chief obstacle on the way of attaining that goal has been U.S. power projection in the Persian Gulf and in the Indian Ocean. And they develop the mega capability in order to remove the mega obstacle, the USA, and to attain the mega goal. Should there be a nuclear Iran, it would devastate, cause turmoil as far as the price of oil, as far as the supply of oil, which would devastate American economy. It would provide a major tailwind to anti-American Islamic terrorism, including the scores of sleeper cells in this country. It would further bolster anti-American, radical, unpredictable Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, already has Iranian missiles deployed inside Venezuela, and he could ask for them to deploy some nuclear elements to Venezuela. And certainly it would accelerate the proliferation of nuclear capabilities among rogue regimes in the world. And last and not least, a nuclear Iran would devastate the pro-American alliance in the Persian Gulf. It would devastate the Saudi regime, Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, Oman, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, and other pro-American regimes, which once again would have a ferocious impact on American standard of living and American national security. And therefore, with all due respect to the concern for Israel, concern by Americans should be first and foremost to America's own national security, which would be driven into havoc by a nuclear Iran.
Let me ask you two related questions to that. First, you mentioned Venezuela. If Iran has weapons deployed in the hands of Hugo Chavez, are those weapons able to hit the United States? Would we know if they can, or is that a possibility?
Well, at this stage, the Iranians have the range of 5,000 kilometers, which means they can hit any European country today. They can launch missiles at Europe. 5,000 kilometers is no big deal when it comes to Venezuela towards the USA. They are currently developing capabilities of 10,000 kilometers, which would mean they would be able then to hit the US from Iran itself. But we should be realistic. There's no need to, first of all, to launch a nuclear weapon. You can also put it in a suitcase and bring it to an American metropolis. And you can also launch a nuclear warhead from a seemingly innocent fishing boat off the coast of the Atlantic or off the coast of the Pacific. And you can certainly launch it from submarines. And one can acquire a nuclear submarine if you have the money easily in the world market today.
And we're here with Ambassador Yoram Ettinger. Yoram Ettinger's name is spelled E-T-T-I-N-G-E-R on his website, The Ettinger Report. It's very fascinating. And you can find out more about him, as I said, on his website, TheEttingerReport.com. And Dr. Ettinger, before we go for a break for the news from Israel, I want to ask you about another threat from Iran, or threat to Iran. And question that I've spoken with about to a few defense analysts, and I'm getting different answers, and I'm curious what you think. Can Israel hit Iran by itself? Does it have the capability? Would it have to go fly down around Saudi Arabia and refuel? Does it have the capability of refueling? I'm curious, can Israel take out an Iranian threat by itself?
Well, first of all, by the way, I'm not a doctor. I appreciate
I'm sorry.
I appreciate the title, but I haven't earned a PhD title. But when it comes to capabilities, definitely. Israel possesses those capabilities. Only last few days, there were reports, supposedly, Israel bombing a certain target in Sudan, which suggests about the range of Israeli capabilities. There are different options when it comes to preempting Iran. One is through the air, and it doesn't have to be through Israel. There are other ways to get to Iran as well, and Israel has some connections with some countries around Iran. It's possible to hit Iran from submarines, and some of them have the range which could facilitate launching a missile at Iran, even from the Mediterranean, let alone from the Indian Ocean. But the primary issue is why? Why should anybody preempt Iran? And I insist that for anybody who wants to avoid an insane nuclear war in the world today, one must preempt Iran. Preemption against Iran would spare the globe an insane war. Anybody who lobbies against a military preemption by the U.S. or by Israel, preferably jointly, unintentionally, inadvertently, is fueling the next war, which would be unprecedented in destruction. The other thing which we should know is that, unfortunately, the current ways of dealing with Iran have failed. Anybody who suggests that negotiation with a serial violator of all agreements is a serious approach to deal with Iran is actually ignoring reality, ignoring precedents. Anybody who suggests that diplomacy or sanctions could do the job ignores 40 years of sanctions against North Korea, which helped North Korea to become nuclear, because when you dwell on sanctions, you do not dwell on the real option, which is military preemption. And anybody who suggests sanctions with Iran also ignores the last 12 years, when sanctions only made Iran that much closer to nuclear capability. And last and not least, there is no such thing as effective sanctions, because effective sanctions is contradiction in term. To be effective, you must have collaboration of Russia and China. They will never collaborate. You must have collaboration of China, of Japan, and India, and they will never collaborate. And even America's own legislation on sanction is replete with waiver. It's a Swiss cheese. It's face-saving. It doesn't deliver the goods, and the proof is in the pudding. Iran is closer today than it was before applying sanctions. And it's time, after 40 years with North Korea, after 12 years of failed sanctions with Iran, to arrive at the proper conclusion. It's a military preemption with no boots on the ground. No boots on the ground, which is the only option to prevent the war, the world, from an ugly war.
Fascinating answer, Ambassador Yoram Ettinger here on Jewish Community Radio. And let's take a break for the news from Israel with Cleveland's own Ben Bresky.
This is your daily newscast from Arut Shava, Israel National Radio.
And thank you, Ben. And we're back here with our guest today, Ambassador Ettinger. His website, people know, I think I mentioned a few times already, but it never hurts to mention again. The Ettinger Report, Ettinger, is how he spells his last name. And we're here back at Jewish Community Radio with him. And one of the questions in Israel is been going on actually for a long time now. Should Israel say, thank you, America, but we don't need the economic aid? You have spoken about that quite a bit and written about that too. Does Israel need U.S. aid right now?
Well, certainly U.S. foreign aid, military, by the way, military foreign aid, does make it easier for Israel to withstand external pressure, to withstand regional challenges. However, one should know what does the U.S. get in return for $3 billion a year, which Israel gets. First and foremost, 75% of that foreign aid must be spent in the U.S., basically constituting premium to the U.S. defense industry. 25% is spent by Israel any way it wishes. But beyond that, the late Alexander Haig, General Haig, who was Supreme Commander of NATO, who was Secretary of State, used to refer to Israel as the largest American aircraft carrier, which cannot be sunk, which does not require a single American on board, which is deployed in the most critical area for American interests. And if there wouldn't be an Israel in the eastern flank of the Mediterranean, then the U.S. would have to deploy real aircraft carriers to the area with tens of thousands of American soldiers, which would have cost the American taxpayers some $20 billion every single year. That $20 billion is spared by the existence of the Jewish state. Israel is using hundreds, maybe thousands of American defense systems, anywhere from the F-15 and the F-16 and the American tanks, all the way to small items which has to do with night navigation and telecommunications, etc. Each one of those systems which we use in our daily combat against terrorism, daily combat against the armies of our neighbors, we improve. And every improvement we share with the Americans, which thereby are getting the services of the number one battle-tested laboratory in the world, otherwise called Israel. And if you were to quantify those modifications which we have introduced, for instance, well over 600 modifications into the current generation of the F-16 alone, which General Dynamics, the manufacturer, estimates to be worth $1 billion. And if you were to apply that to the F-15 and to the other American defense contractors, you would get a $1 billion bonanza contributed to the American defense industry by Israel performing as the American beachhead in the Middle East, assisted by a $3 billion foreign aid alone, which is the best investment, which does render to the U.S. a return, which is the highest return available anywhere in the market.
You know, it's interesting you mention that, because I've read numerous articles and books over the past number of years that talk about that, including how even something as simple as, well, not simple today in thought, that you have jet engines, you have helicopter engines that Israel has developed the technology to keep the sand out of. And that has kept Americans safe in the military for decades.
Well, as far as American safety, going all the way to the Cold War, we snatched from the Egyptian and the Syrian military very advanced Soviet military systems. Each one of them was transferred to the Americans, which impacted the defense industry in this country and tilted the global balance of power in favor of the Americans. Talking about enhancing American safety, American Special Operation Forces on their way to Iraq in the past and currently to Afghanistan go through Israel. They spend few weeks in Israel being trained by Special Operation Forces in Israel, sharing with the Americans our own experience in facing, in tackling suicide bombers, car bombs, the IEDs, the improvised explosive devices, which has enhanced the safety of American soldiers fighting Muslim terrorists in Afghanistan or previously in Iraq. You're talking about enhancing American national security. In 2007, Israel took on the Syrian nuclear plant, which was established by Iran and North Korea in Syria. We destroyed that plan. Can you imagine the impact on American national security, on American global standing, on the stability of the Middle East, if today's Syria would be close to or maybe already possessing a nuclear capability? What would that do to the Middle East, whether it's it's Bashar Assad in Syria, or whether it's the opposition, Al-Qaeda, or the Muslim Brotherhood terrorists. What would be the shape of Saudi Arabia if Israel would not attack the Iraqis in 1981 when we preempted against Iraq's nuclear power, which did not only relieve Israel, but also relieved the Saudis from a clear and present danger, lethal danger, to the survival of a pro-American regime in Saudi Arabia.
Wow, so much more I wanted to ask you. I didn't get to but we're running out of time here on the show. This is one of the days where I wish I had a three-hour show. but we only have half an hour. But Ambassador Ettinger, I want to thank you for coming on here. His website, of course, is The Ettinger Report, Ettinger. And there's a bunch of articles here, which I wanted to ask him about, including Israel's credit rating and about conventional thought about demographics in Israel. But I think we're going to have to just try that for another day.